These words we have today follow immediately upon the preface in John's Gospel. Preface is 1 to 18. This is now 19 down to 28. And it records this testimony of John. He's a powerful prophetic figure and an ascetic man, and doesn't hesitate to preach the word of truth, even confronting the king of the nation for the bad example he sets in divorcing his wife and taking his brother's wife. And that's why he died, finally. So what we have here is, this is the testimony of John. This is the martyria of John. Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" Now, he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Messiah, the Christ." The Christ, ho Christos, that's the anointed one. And the HaMashiach is the anointed one. It's the same word. I mean, it's the same reality in different words. "I am not the Messiah." So they asked him then, "Who are you?" "Elijah?" Because in the tradition of the Jews, Elijah was going to come. As it says right at the end of the book of Malachi, right? Elijah was going to come to get everything ready. "So are you the one getting everything ready? Is that who you claim to be?" And he said, "No, I'm not." "Are you the prophet?" In Deuteronomy 18, Moses says, you know, giving rules for discernment of prophecy. And he says, "The Lord will stir up from among your brothers a prophet like me." Meaning, any prophet like this, who can do signs and wonders from the Lord, whose life is in order, and is preaching fidelity to God, you can listen to that one. As time went on, this grew into a tradition that there would be a prophet, just like Moses, who would prepare the way. Remember when our Lord multiplied the bread in the desert, and they said, "This is the prophet. Here's the new Moses. He's here now. And just as the old Moses got us out of Egypt, so this new Moses will get all the Romans out of here." And that's where Jesus went and up to the top of the mountain and prayed, told the disciples, "Get out of here. Get in your boat and go." So there wouldn't be a demonstration. So no, I'm not the prophet. "Well, then who are you, John?" So we can give an answer to those who sent us. "What do you have to say for yourself?" And now he quotes the text from the opening lines of chapter 40 in Isaiah, which also had been a text. Because this is the beginning, if you remember, this is chapter 40. That's the book of consolation. It starts off, Console my people. Tell her that her time of servitude is over. She has paid doubly for her sins. And you remember that part, right? Right after that comes, Kol Bamidvar, a voice in the desert. You see? Crying out, "What shall I say?" You see? So John says, "I'm that one." That also was a messianic text. We find it cultivated and meditated on at Qumran, for instance, which then sort of says to people, he was in the desert. Was he at Qumran? And there are books written about whether he was or wasn't. When you get to heaven, you can ask him. But he's quoting this other text of expectation. "I am the one getting ready." So then the Pharisees, who were also sent, see, the first people who were sent were priests and Levites, the leaders, the experts. Now comes the Pharisees, who are a radical group. Radical to keep the law, because they started in Babylon. The Pharisees were founded when they were in exile, because they looked around and said, as we should look around and say today, If we don't have a culture coming from our faith, we will be absorbed into this. We will disappear. There will be no more God's people. That's how the Pharisees began. And that was their zeal. Now, they overdid it. And then they were very jealous of Jesus' intrinsic authority. He just spoke and people said, this is right. So the Pharisees have this question. Then why do you baptize? If you're not the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, you see, then why do you baptize? And now John gives his answer. He gives two answers in this part. The first one is here. I baptize with water. Now you would expect, and you'll hear it later, the one coming after me baptizes with the Holy Spirit. That's the next time John answers this question. Which means what? Throughout the whole of the Old Testament, there is this image of the eschatological age, the moment of God's definitive fulfillment of his promises. And it's described as, I will pour out my spirit. Isaiah 44:1, Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31, Joel 3, it's all over the place. So John says, I'm baptizing you in water to get you ready, but there's one coming after me, and he is the one who will fulfill all the promises Adonai has ever made to us, to baptize in the Spirit. And that's what the text means, to fulfill all the promises. Summed up this over and over again, this, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I will pour my spirit into your heart. This image of pouring. And he changes it to, you know, I pour water, but one coming after me, he will pour out the spirit. This time, though, he says something else. I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie. I'm not fit to do a slave's service for the one coming after me. You see how single-minded this saint is? I have one job, to prepare the way for my cousin Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is the Messiah. And I'm going to do that. Because in him, as the Holy Spirit has enlightened me, in him will be the fulfillment of all that Adonai has ever promised us. Now it's coming. Even after the promises of Isaiah, and then I'll level the mountains and come down, which is where this text comes from. See, finally, you've been waiting, waiting, waiting. Now, he's coming. I'm not worthy to just untie his shoes. And then, to keep us interested, I guess, this happened in Bethany across the Jordan. Where is the Bethany across the Jordan? There's a Bethany on this side of the Jordan. You just walk over the Mount of Olives down the other side, and there it is. I used to do that a lot for my afternoon walk when I lived over there. Just go up one side of the Mount of Olives, down the other side, and there you are, in Bethany. But where's this Bethany across the Jordan? Nobody knows. Everybody's tried. They've looked at all the accounts of the pilgrims in the early days and all the names of those little villages around there in Arabic, because the Arabic is usually very close. Like Emmaus in Arabic is Imwas. So you figure, that must be Emmaus. But nobody's come up with Bethany. If you want a job, go on over and look. Then write a big article and see if anybody believes you. So this, you see, is tiptoe. See, this is the beginning. And John has this role. He is Elijah. But he's in the role of Elijah. So now in this season, we will have the readings from the Gospel of John and the letter of John. Because that's the way John is. He fills this season and he fills the Easter season. But then during the year, cycle A we have Matthew, cycle B we have Mark, which is this year, and cycle C we have Luke. So soon after the baptism of the Lord and before Lent, we will read them. And then we will have Lent, and then we'll pick up again on the reading, you know, for the cycle, which is cycle B this year, Mark. Is that enough information? I just thought it would be nice to sort of see, now you know where we are. So tomorrow, what are we going to read from in the first reading? Hey, and where are we going to go for the gospel? John, right. And there's where you will see this text. See, he sees John. He sees Jesus. And he says, there, that's the Lamb of God. That is the one who is going to lift from the world its sin. That's tomorrow.